overcoming the spirit of death, and living the resurrected life, because that's what Jesus came for, is so that we can live the resurrected life. Does it mean that we're going to go through life without pain, without sorrow, without sickness, without accidents, without things? No, it does not mean that. It means that Jesus has made a way for us to overcome. He's given us the tools in your toolbox, the Word of God, to overcome every situation. What the enemy hopes will take that nasty spirit and that pointing my finger at my husband or someone else, God wants to take that nasty out of my brain. But it only comes from reading the Word of God and understanding that the Word of God will work, that I can operate in the fruit of kindness. I can operate in the fruit of goodness. And when I'm in kindness and goodness and forgiveness, and I'm walking according to the Word of God, I will not let lodge in my soulish realm the offense that the enemy hopes I took. If you're offended today, you took it. Nobody offended you. You took it. See, church, it's time. God's got something big for this church. He's got it so big, we can't even wrap our minds around it. And he'll keep giving us what we need to make it work. But he wants us to grow up and get past ourselves. That's why we've been doing this for many, many weeks. Although the spirit of death is not specifically mentioned in the Word of God, there are a number of indications that death is more than just a condition or a term. So we're going to get into that. Father, I thank you for your Word today that is alive and well. God, and it cuts. And it rightly helps us divide the word of truth from false and what is true from lies and what is true. And Father, we can see in our nation and we can see it in our homes. We can see it all around us that people are buying into lies as if they were truth. Molding us, making to us a new heart, creating us a right spirit, a right attitude, so that we can please you, O God. Revelation 20, verse 13 and 14. Let's start there. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Now, John is not speaking symbolically here of hell in this passage, even though that is a place that really exists. It means that death here is more than just a simple definition of the last stages, maybe of a killer disease or fatal accidents. It's much more than that. Death is the last enemy, according to the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so we're shown the lines of events that are still to come. Some of them we have seen, but there's much that we still are going to see. Revelation 20:10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. Boy, it's good news. It's good news coming up, you know. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It is in the Word of God. We can try to make it say whatever we want to make it say, but when we find out what is happening, the enemy that is still loose on this earth, and he is, but Jesus said, I went to hell and I stripped him of the power over those that received me. Are we living in the power and the revelation of what Jesus Christ did, or is the enemy that is going to get thrown totally into darkness, is he the great influence of our life? No, he is not. We are not going to allow it. Amen? After that comes the great white throne judgment. And only after that time will death and hell be cast into the fire. I'm going to go on and read verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, the death. I read this a while ago. The death and Hades gave them up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Selah. There's a definite distinction between the enemy and the death in these passages. So we know that death is under the direction of Satan. But according to this, it would seem that death is also some kind of being, possibly a powerful fallen angel. See, we forget there really are fallen angels. There really were a group of angels that fell with Lucifer. There were, and they still are trying to cause destruction. Revelation 9, if you read it, Revelation is, we don't preach out of it a whole lot because there's some of the ministers that are so much better than we are at preaching it. But yet, it still has so much truth. This chapter begins with the account of a bottomless pit that is opened by God during the fifth judgment of plagues. And they are strange-looking locust, scorpion-type creatures. And they come out of the pit to sting the ungodly for a period of time, period of months. This is after the church goes to be with Jesus. Amen? Amen? The torture of the sting is so terrible that people prefer to die. Revelation 6:9-6 says, during those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. These supernatural insects have a king over them, which is the angel, this is verse 11, of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew, Abaddon, in Greek, Apollyon, which translate either way in destroyer. The destroyer. He, the angel of the abyss, is still locked up in the bottomless pit. But the whole passage here reveals that there's apparently a class of fallen angel that the main job is to come against the human race, to take people's lives, to torment them. Those who have fallen prey to disease or to accidents. So let's take a look at the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt. Many Christians believe that God killed the firstborn children. Have you ever heard that? God killed the firstborn children whose parents had not placed the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their home. It's interesting that God is still always being blamed. Well, Exodus 12:23 will help us with that one a little bit. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway. He will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. This is the same destroyer that was taking lives that Paul is talking about in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, do not grumble, as some of them did. And they were killed by the destroying angel. That was not sent out by God. There's an enemy. We got to quit blaming God. He can handle it. Can we handle putting the blame on somewhere it's not supposed to be, when possibly God's wanting us to grow up? He's wanting us to understand that the Word of God says that Jesus himself went through hell for us and took the keys away from the enemy so that he could give it to his children, so that his children do not have to live under the curses that the devil has planned for their lives. God was not the heavy. He was the one who had kept the had the power to keep the demonic destroyer from killing every firstborn child. It was his idea to put the blood over the post. It was him that put the message out there and said, tell my people to put the blood over their doorpost so that they won't get destroyed by the destroyer that's going to come by. Thank God for Jesus. Revelation 2, verses 14, 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Have you ever talked to anybody that's afraid of death? It's a real thing. Just like fear is a real thing. Afraid to die. And I'm always saying, you know, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm not in a hurry to get out here because I have a mission to accomplish. So death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting for a child of God? He will never have victory over us. Amen? Because he lives, we can live also because he paid the ultimate price for us. We can shout along with Paul after we've accepted Jesus Christ our Savior. What a beautiful, wonderful word. 1 Corinthians 15:55, put it up there so they can see it. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? What does this mean? It means that a child of God can stand against death in the name of Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit directs, and death can be stopped from its deadly work. It means that those who place their trust in him do not have to fear death. Jesus performed surgery on death, and he took out the sting. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is it at? Because for the one that knows Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, death is not an enemy. Physically, we all die unless Jesus returns soon. It means that death, what it means is that death has no right to steal us prematurely. He does not have that right. That's why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places. We wrestle against because that enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. What is God's mission for his church, for his people? It's so that we will live life and live it to the full, live it abundantly, and not let the devil get us entangled in things that is not of God. Our thoughts are to line up with his thoughts, and if they are not lining up with his thoughts, then we humble ourselves before him. Not my will, not my way. Boy, when I first heard that song, you know, whatever, you know, your, you know, God, whatever, your will, not my will. Oh, boy, I had to think about that before I could sing that song. I had to really give it some thought. Then I'm like, Revelation, darling, why are you here on this earth? It's for sure. Anything that I was on my own account would have been a total mess up. I saw what I did when I was in control. But God is speaking so loudly to all of us. It is true that we all shall die. But the enemy wants to steal and keep us from our destiny. Hebrews 9:27, appointed for all men to die once, but after this judgment. That appointment should be according to God's calendar and the enemy's calendar. Because Satan is a murderer, he's a thief, and he's a liar. He wants to steal our health, he wants to steal our children, he wants to steal our spouses, he wants to steal our peace, he wants to steal our finances. He wants to, you just think of it, he wants to steal, he wants everything that you got. Remember the kings in the armies that came against King Ahab, and he got all afraid, you know, and he was afraid about the armies that were coming against him, and the giants, the armies were shouting and saying, you know, I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna take that, and he'll be like, okay, you can have that part of me, until somebody stopped him and said, oh no, King, we will not give the enemy anything that he wants. We will stand up against, because he wants a lot. But when we know who we are in Christ, we begin to pray over our homes. We begin to plead the blood of Jesus over our home. We plead the blood of Jesus over our spouses, over our children. We speak the name of Jesus. What a powerful name. What a wonderful name is the name of Jesus. He wants to steal our years on this earth and keep us from our destiny. John 8:44. What an accusation here. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he's a liar and the father of lies. And we're not talking about Jesus. We're talking about the father of lies, Satan. That's what he does. This whole series is for us to stop, to pause. And say, God, I want to be who you created me to be. I want to act in the way you created me to act. I don't want my actions and reactions to be John 8:44. I want to stress to all of you that we have to be very, very sensitive to the fact that it's God's Spirit that is speaking to us when someone is passing away. There are times, and we've known of times, where pastors told the story before, where there was a young girl that got hit, and a pastor was on his way to the meeting. She ran out and got hit, and she was dead in his arms. And life, he prayed over, life came back to her. It does happen. It does happen. But it takes the working of the gift of faith and the working of miracles to fix what disease has destroyed. You know, several years ago, we had some really good friends that lost their 19-year-old daughter on Christmas Day. And they had prayed. She had had a disease for many, many years. And she had lived way beyond her diagnosis, way many years past what they had said when she was just a young, young girl. But she kept telling her family about heaven and things that she was seeing. And she was ready to go. She was just ready to go. And they prayed and they prayed over. And God, it was like God said, she wants to go home. Her body is tired. She wants to go home. So when and how should a Christian die? A Christian should die as differently from a sinner as light is unlike the darkness. So why can't we? God, that's how I want to die. I want to die peacefully. I want to die knowing that I have fulfilled your purpose. I want to die because my time is finished, not because the enemy took me out. Death for the believer should be a promotion to a higher rank. So when Pastor and I are gone, you just say, oh, they got promoted. Amen? That's how it should be with all of us. There's a promotion coming. Not fear, not filled with fear or trauma, tragedy. The Old Testament, the patriarchs, remember how they would call their family around them, and they would begin to prophesy over them. Lord, let me prophesy over my sons and daughters. Let me minister to them. Let me speak a word that they'll remember how much you love them. And the plans that you got for them is good. And everything that the enemy says to them is a lie. Help them to be able to rightly divide your word, oh God. Jesus said in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. This was the abode at that time of the righteous dead before Christ's death and resurrection. When Jesus was crucified, he took the keys of hell and death with him. Would you come, worship team? Revelation 1:18, keep your eyes on me because there's some really good word going forth here. 1:18 says, I am the living one. I am the living one. I was dead. And now, look. I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Ah, come on. Come on, church. Jesus paid a price for us that the enemy can never steal or take away for us. 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. I'm so thankful for that victory because every Christian goes straight to heaven. Aren't you happy about that? I am. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, my goodness, if we walk by our sight, we won't be happy about nothing. If we walk by how we feel, you're never going to be happy. If you walk by what you hear, you're not going to be happy. If you walk by what you think, if it's not a God thought, it isn't going to bring you peace. It's not going to bring you long life. It's not going to. It's not going to. It's not going to. Impossible, because it's contrary to the word of God. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Because not only do we live by faith, we are to die by faith. Therefore, death, you don't have a sting because my grave is going to have victory over me. There ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Why do we fight and strain to stay on this earth when God's time has been to pass on the place and go to the place that Jesus has prepared for us? We don't have to be afraid of death. People that don't live life to the full just said, take me today. Selfish, selfish, selfish. Don't take me. Don't let me go 1 minute before I'm supposed to go. Not 1 minute. Not 1 second before the time that we're supposed to go. Could it be that some, because of the lack of knowledge of God's word and the lack of faith and trust in God, or maybe we're unsure of our rights in God, so we fear the unknown as sinners do? God says, you don't have to fear the unknown. Don't have to. What you don't know, he does. And when we really seek him, he'll tell us what we need to know. But we're wanting somebody else to tell us because it feels right or it doesn't feel right or whatever. There's a lot of days nothing feels right. But I know that I know that I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he has paid a price I could never pay. He did for me what I could never do. And the same for you. He's done everything that you need to live a life that is whole and a life that is free. Does it mean that you won't suffer and you won't have pain and you won't have grief? No, that's not what it means. It says, but I've made a way when there is no way. I will go with you. I'll never let you be alone. I will never, ever let you walk across those waters deep that you feel like you're going to sink in. Oh, no, I'm not going to let you drown. Don't you worry one bit about it. Don't worry about it. You're going to get where I need you to go if you'll just trust me. Walk with me. Trust me. That fire that seems like everybody wants to destroy you, or that fire on your job, that fire in your home. He said, if you'll just take my yoke and my burden, because it's light. And if you're not light, and if you don't know that God's got this, then the devil has sold us a bill of goods. We need to Speak the words of God. Believe God's word. Act on what it is and live by it. Proverbs 18:21, and you all know this one so well. We all do. But do we? Do we? Do we? Do we? Goes back to what I said a while ago. Do we believe the best in everybody? That's what we drilled into our students at school. Learn to believe the best. What comes out of your children's mouth first? Is it negative? Is it selfish? Is it lying? Is it disrespect for mom and dad? Is it this? Is it that? But the Word of God tells us that if we will learn to love, we'll have no more to learn. Because perfect love casts out fear of the unknown. Not my perfect love, His. His love lives in me. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I get to partake of His fruit. Not my fruit, because my fruit isn't nice. His fruit sustains me. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. What do you love to do? Do you complain? Do you gripe? Does your family know when you walk in it's a safe place? When you get up in the morning, do they feel peace because you got up? Do people that don't know you, when they meet you, they just love being around you? I just love it when you come. When it's time to step over into the next world. I love this statement. I wrote down, I love this. Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of advising us when we've reached the going home stage in our life. Don't you like that, Pastor? So I have to worry about death. There will come a time when the angels will come and take us where sorrow will be no more. The place where we can be in the very presence of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. David wrote a beautiful description under the inspiration of how God feels about His children coming home. Psalm 116:15, His loved ones are very precious to Him, and He does not lightly let them die. Death, we're not going to pray that we're going to have a heart attack because somebody else had a heart attack. We're not going to be afraid that cancer, because we got a report, oh, I got a death sentence. No, I've got a life sentence. My Redeemer lives. The Word of God says that my people perish because they have a lack of my knowledge. They have a lack of the Word of God. They choose to interpret it however they want because they won't spend time in my presence, humbling themselves and saying, God, help me to be that person that you created me to be. Help me to love like you love. Help me to have eyes of compassion with every person that I meet. Because I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what it took to get them from there to here. But help me to be like that. Because just as we help our children over difficult times, God's going to be with us in that last mile of our life. Don't allow Satan to rob our years that God has given us to live. Because I'm expecting a peaceful home going when it's that time, and you should too. Every person in here should. Because see, this is a heritage of God's children. Let's don't let Satan steal one moment before or one moment after the Lord calls us into His presence. Because His timing is perfect. Would you stand to your feet? We're to live life to the fullest, which can only be obtained through and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 13:30-19 says, this day I call to remembrance, and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before your life and death, blessings and curse these. Isn't it something? We are not robots. We talked about AI before service. We were talking a little bit. You know, AI only learns from, it collects more and more knowledge, collects more and more and more. Is it the right knowledge? It's according to what all it's picking up out there. But when it comes from the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, see, God didn't, he didn't want us to be robots. We are not robots. We are human beings. Let us make man. Let us make them in our image. Oh, I believe that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they were at work creating exactly the perfect human being. And the enemy hated that from the beginning. He's tried to steal our kids in every way that he can. Thank you for being mean moms and dads. And when I said that, when I say that, I mean moms and dads that will teach their kids the Word of God. Love them like the Word of God does. No matter what they do, but you always, always are telling them, no, there's a cliff right there. No, I'm not going to give that to you. That thing will burn you up. No, We need some strong parents in their home. I like that. I like that. Yes, I do. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. God's plan is that we don't fear our own life. Don't be afraid. I've lost so much. I don't have anything left. I'm just done. Do you know that that's where the enemy tries to get all of us? And we've all probably been there. I have more than once. I don't know what else to do, but something inside of me is like, I don't have to fear our life. I don't understand it. It maybe didn't look like it did before, but now that I've been on the journey of life, it's good. Every change he's made, everything that he's done around every corner, it's been beautiful. It's good. He's had his hands full with me, but he never gave up on me. And his word has always worked. Never failed me. Not one time has God failed me. Not one time. Not one time. As a believer, we can take our authority and bind the enemy from stealing from us and walk a closer daily relationship. And he will direct our steps. Be sensitive, because see, the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit is so different than the loud noise that the enemy loves to keep going in our heads. If we'll do our part, I believe we should do our part to keep from dying prematurely. And I know that I need to walk that 3,000K, whatever it was. I am not in shape, and I know that, but it could happen. I know I got a lot of work to do. There's the devil. There's an enemy that seeks to devour and destroy whomever that he can. So let's give him no place with our words, with our deeds, with our actions. Don't be foolish. We've got to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Pastor and I have got to work really hard, because we got a lot of miles to go. A lot of miles on us and a lot of miles to go. So we've got to take care of ourselves better than we ever have before. And you need to keep praying for us. My angels, they work really hard overtime. They're trying. Get with it. Get with it, angels. Come on now. Word of God says he would allow my feet to be cast against the stone, and I believe that. We run for the prize of the high calling. Fulfill our mission here on earth. Whatever you do, let's do it well for Christ and with Christ. Amen.